Let us pray again. Dear God, thank you for the opportunity to come together as a church to worship you. As I address this message to your people today, allow the Holy Spirit to walk in this building. As I speak your truthful word, I ask that those who hear the message will be able to understand the word and also be able to follow and live by the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for this opportunity to share the Word of God with you this morning. The text I want to preach is from the Gospel of Mark chapter 8, verse 31 to verse 36, with title, Take Up the Cross and Follow Him. We can see. Firstly, Jesus teaches about His death and resurrection. Let's take the look at the verse 31 says, He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that He must be killed and after 3 days rise again. The nation Israel had been praying and waiting for the Messiah when the Lord Jesus came into the world. They expected that the coming Messiah would be a political king or military general who would make their nation be greatest in the world. Even modern day Orthodox Jews are still praying and waiting for this kind of Messiah. In their mind, they said, we want to be a top nation. We want to rule of the world. They are selfish and arrogant. That was the attitude of Israel or Jews of the day. And we are not very different from them, unfortunately. Many of us also have the same attitude that raises questions in our minds. Am I selfish? Am I arrogant? Am I wanting to be great for wrong reason? Do I have an attitude of Christ? Jesus has been with the 12 disciples for about 3 years by the time. Now they believe that Jesus is the Messiah, promised by God in the Old Testament. One day, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. Jesus asked again, but what about you? Who do you say I am? In reply to Jesus' question, Peter answered correctly in verse 29. You are the Messiah. Yet we will see in due time that the disciples are not very different from all other Jews. They are purely worldly. And they had a national pride and selfish. They believed that Jesus is a Messiah, but they expected the restoration of the Davidic dynasty, which means the Messiah who would bring the nation with the strongest military power and the greatest wealth. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, disciples shows what they want and what they want to be. When Jesus sent disciples on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus told them what was going to happen to him. But they did not interest that. They just wanted to know their positions under Jesus' kingship. So James and John came to Jesus and said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Jesus replied that, what do you want me to do for you? They said, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. It's like saying, more for me. Me first. I do not care about your suffering. I want to be the highest position in your kingdom. This is the attitude of disciples. The disciples knew that Jesus is the Messiah who saves people from sin and calls them to obey God. But they are still full of desire for power and glory. They expected that the Lord would change nation into what they really wanted very soon. This is why on verse 30, Jesus tells the disciples not to proclaim that He is the Messiah to the people. Because they might say the wrong things about Him to those who had the wrong idea about the Messiah. They presume that Jesus soon will make Himself into political king and use His special power to defeat the Romans and to restore Israel to be the greatest nation again and to be rich. So Jesus commanded His disciples not to say about His messiahship to others yet. It was not the right time to talk about His messiahship yet, because Jesus is not what they think He is. Now our pursuit to have a better job or on higher income is not sinning in itself. God has given each of us a certain gift, talent, skills, and expect us to develop and use them to its maximum to honor Him. But that is not the main reason why Jesus came into the world. The main reason is to take away sins of this world and save sinners from Satan's precious hand. We know Jesus is a king, but He did not come to be a worldly king. Rather, He came as the suffering servant king who takes away sin of the world. Have a look, verse 31. Jesus made it clear. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that He must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Verse 32, He spoke plainly about this. Jesus plainly spoke about the cross here. He must take up the cross and endure the unbearable suffering. Yet, that is why He came to the world. He says in Mark 10:45, said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as ransom for many." Second, Jesus' suffering is God's will. Verse 32 and 33 said, "And Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. But when Jesus turned and looked at His disciples, He rebuked Peter. 'Get behind me, Satan,' He said. 'You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man.'" In these verses, we can see the disciples are shocked by Jesus' teaching on His suffering. So Peter rebuked Jesus on the teaching about His suffering privately. In other words, he strongly protested against Jesus' plan of taking up the cross. But Jesus sternly rebuked Peter in return before all the other disciples. The Lord Jesus called Peter Satan because Jesus reckoned immediately that it was Satan who tried to tempt Him to avoid the cross through Peter. Therefore, Jesus rebuked Peter very harshly, for Peter misunderstood the way of the cross completely, which was the reason why Jesus came into the world. So, The Lord continued to say to Peter, You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. This tells us very important truth. Satan seeks to defy Jesus' purpose that saves sinners from Satan's tyranny and tried to persuade Jesus to avoid suffering. Now while Jesus is a servant king who carries out the heavenly will, the devils rebel against God, seeking to be a king for his own. And Peter here did not have the mind of Christ. His mind was duped by the devil. The Jews and the disciples do not want Jesus to suffer and die, but they want him to be a glorious king. They want him to be a day earthly king, so that they would reign with him. Yet Jesus chose to give his life as a ransom for many. As you may see, there are two ways to live, two different kinds of life, the way of the devil and the way of Christ, the way of ungodly and the way of godly. The devil's way seeks worldly pleasure and comfort, while the way of Christ demands to take up the cross. No one wants to suffer. Even Jesus did not desire it. We don't want to take up the cross. It is simply human nature. No one wants to suffer, but Jesus chose it because it was necessary. Can you take up the cross when it's necessary? Are you Christ-like? Do you have a servant heart? We must take up the cross and follow Jesus. Verse 34 says, Then he calls the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Here, Jesus gives a crucial condition to be his followers. He calls everyone within reach to hear it, to be his followers. One must first deny himself and take up his one cross. In other words, one must live like dead man walking, which is the way to follow Jesus. That is the way to live as a little Jesus. This is a crucial metaphor, Christ follower. As Christ follower, therefore we must expect suffering for Jesus. The church history speaks loudly and clear that Christians in every generation have gone through persecution one way or another. This is a challenge for all of us. Do you want to be a Christian? Well, count the cost, deny yourself, and take up the cross, and then follow Jesus. Again, there are two ways to live in this world. The way of Satan is ungodly and arrogant, seeking after worldly greatness for himself, and avoid serving others or suffering at all costs. On the other hand, the way of Christ is godly and humble, seeking after righteousness of God and His kingdom first, and eagerly serving others and taking up the cross with a willing heart. Jesus Christ set an example for all of us to live the new and living way. Jesus first took the cross for us, and through His death on the cross, He takes away the sins of the world and opens the door of salvation. So whoever believes in him can enter through the door of salvation and save his soul and enjoy heavenly blessing with the Lord now and beyond this world in eternity. The question then should be, how can I start to follow Jesus Christ? How can I start to follow Jesus Christ? I believe the answer is given from the Bible in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus replied to Nicodemus, who inquired about the kingdom. Jesus said, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." In other words, you must be born again through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to whom God chooses and softens his heart, proud heart, that he will begin to want to be like Christ. So we become, by grace, willing to serve and willing to die as our Savior's servant. As we have seen, there are two ways to live. The problem is that we are not yet perfect, but have divided hearts. We want to be like Christ, the servant king, but we don't want to submit ourselves in humble service and to go through suffering. In Bonhoeffer's book, The Cost of Discipleship, declared that when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Also, there is a man who confesses his death of old life by denying himself and the cross of Christ. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2:20 tells that, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, Christ commands us to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and to follow him. Which way do you want to take? Finally, following Christ will bring a great reward. Verse 35 to 38 says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Jesus' teaching here is clear enough and easy to understand. If you follow Christ, then you will suffer for it in this present life and world. In a sense, you lose perhaps even your life. If you choose not to follow Christ, you may avoid suffering for him and even get rich. But in the end, you will go to hell. If that's the case, I bet you would do everything you can to avoid such a terrible consequence, wouldn't you? But there are great rewards in following Jesus. The Bible says, when you take up your cross and follow Jesus, then you will save your life and you will proudly enter into Father's glory with Jesus. In other words, you will be better being like Christ and taking up the cross now and gain glory in due time. There are two ways to live: the way of the devil and the way of Christ. If you are Christ followers, then deny yourself and take up the cross and be an imitator of Christ. Let's keep learning the way to follow Christ and longing to be like Him. I'm sure the Spirit works in you and helps you grow and experience the new living way in Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. We pray that we will be able to imitate the life of Christ in times of suffering. We ask that you help us to look to the cross rather than the worldly things of the earth. Despite the pressures of the world, help us to become faithful followers of you, whatever we are. Allows us to become people who have hope for eternal life in the kingdom of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.